The power to lead is the power to mislead, and the power to mislead is the power to destroy. And this week's opening quote comes from Thomas Monson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen. And they've certainly been ramping up the theatrics in the last year or so since Trump has taken office. A lot of people still think Trump is on their side. We've seen lots of arrests of pedophiles, or lots of reports of arrests of pedophiles. No main players, but lots of reports coming through of pedophiles being arrested. But as I said, folks, none of the main players have been arrested, and there's all sorts of other stuff going on the ground while this is happening. There's all of the theatrics still going on in Syria, Yemen, the on and off conflicts that seem to be going on with Russia and North Korea, and all sorts of things happening all over the world stage to keep people distracted. But also what's happening on Trump's watch is massive funding going to NASA. And we've also seen these wildfires across California, which are most certainly the result of directed energy weapons, folks. I might get a little bit of flack for saying that, but that really does appear to be what these fires have been caused from. We're hearing new terms now, such as fire tornadoes. Fire-nadoes, they're calling them. And so much of the Trump presidency is theatrics anyway. You know, when you look at Trump, Trump was fully funded by Israel to gain office, ladies and gentlemen. Trump was bailed out by Israel a few years ago when he was in massive amounts of debt, billions of debt, and he was bailed out. His daughter is married to Jared Kushner. He's moved the embassy to Jerusalem. And this whole battle that he's having with the press, or this perceived battle that he's having with the media, do you really think this is a serious battle, ladies and gentlemen? Look at Trump. Like I said, Trump works for Israel. And who does the media that he's fighting work for? They all work for Israel as well, folks. It's theatre for the masses, but it's certainly throwing a bone to the alternate media, the independent media and the truth community, who believe that Trump has gone into bat for them and that he's involved in this ongoing battle with the disinformationists, which are the mainstream media. The whole thing's theatre. People are sitting back and watching all of these theatrics, and they're watching all this QAnon stuff coming out, and they're seeing all these low-level pedophile arrests being announced. Whether people are actually being arrested or not, we don't really know. But we are seeing reports on the internet of people who are being arrested. We just don't have any way of confirming it. But all of these things are bones that are being thrown to the independent media and thrown to the people. And the people who are involved in the mainstream side of things, they've got all these theatrical conflicts in Yemen and Syria and Russia and North Korea and all of this other stuff that's going on, Iran, to keep them all entertained. But in the background, the entire agenda is still rolling forward. Europe is still being overrun by migrants. The conflict in Syria is still ongoing. Very interestingly, ISIS had almost been driven out of Syria until the United States ramped up its efforts to stamp them out and came in to help. And somehow ISIS seems to have gained a foothold again in the areas that are held by the United States. How very strange, but how very predictable, because of course ISIS is being run by the United States and Israel, and it always has been right since the beginning. So all this is going on, plus we still have the smart grid and the IoT and all of this stuff going on as well. And all sorts of political theatres being presented to people just to keep them distracted. Interesting the rhetoric we've seen out of the media as well in the United States saying, yes, it would appear that Russia interfered with United States elections. And one aspect of this that they are referring to is, of course, the many so-called Russian agents online who were speaking out against Hillary Clinton and speaking out against the New World Order and all the stuff the independent media is doing, which the government is, of course, trying to portray as a Russian operation designed to undermine the West. Because, of course, why would anyone ever want to say anything bad against the government? And all those who do speak out against the government must, of course, be Russian agents. This is typical Western political CIA NSA logic, folks. And so, of course, this can be construed and molded any way you like to fit the nice little crown of Russia interfering with the elections in the United States. Quite an amazing statement, really, when you look at the fact that the United States has interfered in the elections of so many countries, it's almost beyond count, And you look at Israel, who has interfered in virtually every election the United States has had since 1950, and interferes with the elections of all Western governments. Ultimately, when you look at Israel, and if you look at Western governments, virtually all of their policies somehow seem to all support Israeli foreign policy. What a strange coincidence. Well, not only do they support Israeli foreign policy, but they do it at the detriment of domestic policy in their own countries. Now, what do you think this would be? Well, when you look at the amount of dual Israeli citizens in the United States government, the amount of Zionists and Israeli supporters in England, in Canada, in Australia, in everywhere, even our Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has even claimed that he believes he may be a Jew. It's just ridiculous, folks, the amount of support that this nation gets and the amount of interference it's able to carry out in all Western governments and all Western elections. And there's the United States saying, oh, we think Russia may have interfered in the United States elections, and it's simply not acceptable for a country to interfere in another country's elections. The incredible hypocrisy of that statement, it almost brings a new level of definition to the word. And what would it be being done to begin with, folks? Well, you've really got to look at these people and understand that they always think in chess moves, and they always think several moves ahead. And what they're attempting to do with this whole perceived battle that Trump's having with the media and this whole condemnation of Russia interfering with the elections is they're really trying to portray the concept that they didn't want Trump to get elected, because it's a really bad thing that Trump was elected. It's a bad thing for the New World Order. It's a bad thing for Israel. It's a bad thing for all the plans they had. But really, when you look at it, it's actually been a very good thing, because Trump works for Israel. He supports Israel more than anything else. And Trump has got away with doing things that no other leader would have got away with. No other leader would have been able to isolate America from Europe this way. No other leader would have been able to move the embassy to Jerusalem. No other leader would have been able to get the independent media and the resistance to back off, thinking that this guy was actually on their side. It has to be done this way. They have to present a concept that they don't want Trump there, because that keeps the independent media off their back. That keeps them at bay, waiting for something magical to happen when the deep state gets magically taken down and suddenly we move into a utopian existence simply because there's been some sort of political shuffle within the political mechanism of the United States. And they've seriously got a whole bunch of people sitting back waiting for this to happen. But the reality is, folks, that with all the rhetoric and all of the posturing and all the theatre, absolutely nothing has changed on the ground. If you really look at your life, nothing has changed in your life. The wars haven't stopped. The wars have just escalated. Everything is still ongoing. The Greater Israel Project is still ongoing. The homogenization and destruction of Europe is still ongoing. Massive heat waves and wildfires we're seeing across Europe as well, the same as we're seeing in California. And nothing whatsoever is changing due to the current political rhetoric, because it's simply rhetoric. You know, as I've said before, folks, politics is a puppet show. It doesn't matter which country you come from. It doesn't matter which country you go to. It doesn't matter which country you're in. It doesn't matter whether the government that you see across the border is someone you perceive to be your enemy or whether it's someone you perceive to be your friend. The whole thing is a puppet show. Sure, there's certain groups of individuals who might happen to lead countries who like to hang out together, who may not get along so well with other members of the worldwide universal crime gang that they belong to, maybe little subgroups within that crime gang, but ultimately it's one big crime gang and it's one big puppet show. You know, all of these so-called conflicts that we're always under threat of having, nuclear war, world war, all this sort of stuff, it's not going to happen, folks. There's never going to be a world war as we perceive it to be. This massive outpouring of military hardware from all these different countries that all suddenly go and bomb each other's cities, it's not going to happen, because there's no reason for it to happen. And even when it does happen on a small scale, which does happen in these small wars, it's only done for depopulation purposes and to control different regions of the world. Often it's done to just continue military spending as well. With all these military companies that are running governments, they need to have wars happening somewhere so they can sell all their hardware to people, because all this stuff has a shelf life. No good making bombs and not dropping them. But the whole thing is one big puppet show. And if we didn't have governments, we wouldn't have war. We wouldn't have all of this stuff going on. We wouldn't have corruption investigations into government if we didn't have government. We wouldn't have a deep state if we didn't have the state. And we will always have a deep state as long as the state exists. Don't kid yourself there. Because all the deep state is the hidden workings that go on behind the mechanism we see on the surface, which is going to happen in every government, in every state. There's always a deep state. And it's the deep state that's been pushing things forward, and it's still pushing things forward, and nothing is changing because the deep state is the state. And the state is able to get away with what it's doing by claiming, oh, it's the deep state. And Trump's in there battling for the people. Rubbish. Trump is in there managing the controlled demolition of the United States and creating the situation where Europe can pull away from America and we can slowly see the Chinese work ethic introduced into all of our countries. And it's happening everywhere. It's happening here in Australia. There's so little rights for workers here in Australia now. It doesn't matter how good you are at your job. If they can find someone to do it cheaper, they will give it to them. Doesn't matter what nationality they are, they will give it to them. Doesn't matter if they have to spend years training them, they will still give them the job and they will push everybody out, push everybody onto the welfare queue and make the workplace more and more regimented with less and less rights for the people, more and more rights for any Israelis who want to come to the country and set up. Of course, we've seen a new Israeli community, a Jewish-only community opening up on the Gold Coast in Australia in Currumbin Valley near a Gold Coast icon, Currumbin Rock Pool. A whole bunch of land has been bought there and a Jewish-only community is going in along with a Jewish-only school. They've got teepees in the creek. They've got all sorts of stuff that you and I would never get away with doing. But, of course, the Jewish community has got away with doing it. They've even had new power lines run out for their community and an upgrade of the power system only out as far as their little domain that they've created in Currumbin Valley. They also put a sign up for 90 days, as you're required to do, to see if anyone would protest this community, but they put it behind a tree so no one would see it. And this is just one example of what is happening in somewhere like the Gold Coast in Australia, and no less to Currumbin Rock Pool, a Gold Coast icon which has been taken over by the Jewish community. Try and put a mosque somewhere, folks, and see how far you get. Try and even put a Christian school at Currumbin Rock Pool and see how far you get. I guarantee you won't have any luck at all, but here we have people in support of the land of Israel, a country who is currently carrying out every war crime you can think of, is terrorizing children, bombing Gaza Strip, running ISIS and the fake war of terror, carried out the 9/11 attacks, is running this international banking cartel that has been trashing the world and running it into the ground for years, has flooded Europe with migrants, and carrying out ongoing acts of genocide in Palestine. A state that terrorizes and imprisons children in military prison, a state which is the largest purveyor of human body parts in the world, the largest purveyor of illegal organ sales, implicated in the largest human trafficking rings on earth. The people who carried out the worst Holocaust in history in the extermination and brutal murder of around 66 million Christians in the Bolshevik gulags run by Bolshevik Jews, a race of people who have been kicked out of 168 countries for always attempting to undermine the countries and enslave all the local inhabitants to economic debt. People from this community are able to come into the country, buy up the land, put this in under everybody's nose without anybody even hearing about it or being alerted to the fact that it's happening, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. While all that's happening to the locals in the country is they are being forced to tighten their belts and work a little harder. Now, when you attempt to alert people to the reality of everything that's happening, they're unfortunately often too busy with their smartphones, looking at their screen mirrors, simply not paying attention to the world around them. And that's the big problem that we face, folks, is getting people to lift themselves away from the tech and pay attention to what's going on. Now, with everything that's happening, it's becoming more and more difficult to do this simply because of people's attention span. People are only prepared to pay attention to what is trending, even within the independent media, even within the so-called truth movement. If it's not popular, if it's not some popular topic, then people don't really want to know about it. There's no real long-term information anymore. People want all the answers in a soundbite. Even with a lot of people who come and listen to my show, a lot of the new listeners, they'll say, well, hang on, you didn't provide this and you didn't provide that. And I go, well, hang on, I did that 20 shows ago, or I've done that for the last year, because it's a kind of an ongoing story. You know, reality is an ongoing story, and learning what's going on is an ongoing story, and you can't possibly put all the information into one radio show. It's just about impossible to do. And what I attempt to do with the radio shows is just provide enough information to get people to think outside the box a little bit, perhaps ask a few questions that they may not have asked before. That's why I don't attempt to provide answers to people, because, you know, I may have my concept about what's going on, but some of it I can't prove. I just suspect what may be happening. And I'm not going to help anybody by just muddying the waters and putting out more and more theories. I think what we need to do is focus on what we do know and on encouraging other people to think, just to ask the questions to begin with. And that's something that I often say to people. You're never going to show people the truth by attempting to convince them of the truth in what you believe you know. You're going to do it by stimulating the urge within them to begin asking the questions for themselves. And that's what we want people to do. We need to get that type of thinking to the mainstream. That's really what we need to do with the independent media as well, with the resistance, is find a way of breaking into the mainstream. Because as corrupt as the mainstream is, if you can get a couple of minutes on there in front of a few million people and drop a truth bomb, perhaps you may just wake people up. But of course, the independent media is now so far gone that if you are to do that, if there is someone from the independent media who did manage to get onto television and to drop a big truth bomb on CNN or something, most of the independent media would go, oh my God, he's a traitor, he's now on the mainstream, so he's sold out, he must be part of the Illuminati, because that's what they're programmed to think. And this is the sort of flack that I got from someone on YouTube as well for even being offered the TED Talk a couple of months ago. Even the concept that I got offered the TED Talk and the concept that I may have accepted the TED Talk. Oh my God, TED Talk, that's mainstream. Max must be controlled opposition. This is the whole thing, folks. So it makes it very difficult to break into the mainstream, even if we are able to do it in some way. But even Bill Cooper said we need to break into the mainstream because unfortunately that's where people's attention is. And attention is the most valuable commodity on earth. It really is. If we can get enough people's attention and give them the right information in a small enough soundbite to just cause that shell to crack, we may actually get somewhere. The trick is figuring out how to do that. That's the thing with the mainstream. They're very, very careful about who they actually let on. And when they do let people on, they're very, very careful about what they let them say. Even with some of the spots that I do on Press TV on Iranian World News, only about 40% of them actually get posted onto YouTube because very often I say stuff and they simply don't like what I say. I can get away with doing it live on TV and there's nothing they can do about it, but then in that 2 minutes it's over and it's gone and they just hope people forget about it, I guess. But in those sort of cases, they never post the clips to YouTube, so I never get to share them, so it only ever lasts that 2 minutes that it's actually on Iranian World News, which is not something that anybody's going to see unless they happen to be streaming it live at the time. But even with that, I've just learned that there's so far I can go if I want to get the clip onto YouTube. I can't say as much as I want to say. I can only ever say so much. So all news services have an agenda, every single one of them. But having said that, breaking into the mainstream is really what we need to do because we can only really get so far posting clips onto YouTube. You know, ultimately we're preaching to the choir. I mean, it's good to cover a lot of platforms and just hope the information gets out there, but we need to find a way of getting the information to the average man on the street that isn't going to be tuning into a YouTube clip. You know, one of the best ways to do this, as I've also said so often, is to be a shining light in your community, to lead by example in what you do and get to know your neighbours and break down these barriers with people. You know, if you can bring information to people in a non-conspiratorial way and help them see how much you are empowered by this information, how much better you are in your life, how it's caused you to lose stake in the outcome of things, because you can see a bigger picture, you can see the higher agenda, and help them see that all the hardship in their life is created because it's legislated to be there by people that we're actually supposed to be employing for us to do things for us and to actually make things easier for us. And things have just changed. Things have gotten different. The work ethic has gotten so strange. It's gotten so hard. Police have changed duties. Police are no longer there to look after people when they get in trouble or to provide remedy in situations where harm is caused. They're there to check up on people, to make sure people are walking between the lines and to make sure no one is thinking about not complying with government wishes. They're often acting as security forces and strong arm for mining companies and corporations now. And we'll go out and we'll protest the mines and the corporations and all this sort of stuff, but we'll still buy their products. We have to stop buying their products, stop complying with it that way. You know, pull your energy away from the system and start giving it to the people around you. This is something that I've been saying for 10 years on air here. You know, your most valuable resource is the people around you. And if you can lead by example in your community and be a shining light to be around and step outside of the system as much as you can and help people as much as you can, well, you can make a difference in that way as well. And call these politicians out whenever you get the opportunity to do it. Ring up talk shows and go to public meetings if ever there's politicians there and ask questions to them and just say the right thing. You know, if you just say it in front of enough people, perhaps you'll get the shelter crack in a few of these people and they'll think about what you said. Even if you get thrown out of the building, they'll still think about what you said and they may even question why you got thrown out. But the thing is to be always polite and eloquent and happy in what you're doing. Even when you're protesting these things, just ask questions in the right way and make it into kind of a joke that you would even be having to ask this question. Make it into a kind of a joke the fact that the politicians think they can get away with this stuff without someone asking these questions. I mean, just make it all into something kind of lighthearted and almost humorous, and you'll find that it appeals to a lot of people. And it's also very hard for them to combat that type of attitude. I mean, they can't accuse you of being violent. They can't accuse you of making a ruckus or disturbing the peace or anything like that. In fact, what they're doing when they come to throw you out, if they do that, is disturbing the peace. So you can kind of point that out to them as well. But these sorts of things will cause the penny to drop in people. At least a few people in the room will think about what you've done and they'll think about what you said and go, well, actually, that made a lot of sense. So these sorts of things can help. And just getting involved in the community, folks, that's something that we fail to do. We do it online all the time, but we don't pay attention to the actual world that we live in. And that really is the big problem. The question, of course, is what is this world that we're living in? That is the question that most people don't even really understand the world that they live in. It is a very, very mysterious place that we live, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see that so many people have been looking into history lately. I'm seeing a lot of people talking about Tartaria and the very real possibility that there was an ancient worldwide civilization that existed up until not too long ago. This is really starting to sink into a lot of people, and a lot of people seem to be looking in this direction and finding a lot of confirmation for some of the stuff that I brought you on previous shows. And it's something that's extremely confrontational for people to even consider this. You know, I got a lot of flack a few shows ago when I said that there was no Roman Empire. A lot of people really took offense to that. How could you possibly say something so stupid? Well, really, folks, all we've really got is history books that tell us that this is what happened. But when you look at the physical structures, sure, there were buildings in Rome, but was it the Roman Empire or was it a worldwide empire that was based in Tartaria and ultimately came from a civilization that existed before that, possibly Atlantis or Lemuria, or whatever it was, the land that sank beneath the oceans? And did the land sink beneath the oceans? That's the other question. Did the land actually sink, or did the oceans rise? Were the lands flooded? Because, as I've also pointed out on previous shows, there are so many lost civilizations underneath all of these bodies of water all over the earth, you've really got to question what happened and when it happened. The great deluge that we hear about, was it really thousands of years ago as we're told, or was it really just a couple of hundred years ago? Now, the mud flood that has been discovered through Europe lends credence to the concept that it was only actually a couple of hundred years ago that this happened and that many of these civilizations were still thriving up until quite recently. The question is, what could do that? Who would have the power to do that? Where would such a flood come from? Who is really running things here? You know, one needs to even consider the possibility that there's other lands that we don't know about, lands that aren't on the maps. That's all you'd really have to do, would be not put them on the map. We've had all sorts of things like this reported. We've had warm lands reported to be at the North Pole by people such as Admiral Byrd. Whether you can put trust or credence in that, he's a military admiral, he works for the system, he was a Freemason, so who knows? But the reports are there. And as I said, folks, all we would really have to do would be change the maps, and who would know? But one thing I think we can be pretty certain of, and that is that whoever we think is in control here is almost certainly not the ones who are in control. And wherever all of these resources are going that are being strip mined out of this world that we live in, they certainly don't seem to be being used by us. And this is a question that I've been asking right since the very first film that I put out back in 2008. Why is the Earth being strip mined, and who is carrying out these operations? What is our history? Why has it all been changed? Why has such a concerted effort been undertaken to hide history and to make sure that we do not have the facts? What is really the purpose of all this? What is really the purpose of exerting such an incredible amount of control over human beings? You know, there's a lot of questions we have that need answering. And it's my great hope that soon people will see this, and soon people will see just how many questions they are and just how many answers we do not have. Even those who think they have the answers do not know if they have the answers or not. Most of them don't. Most people have simply just got belief systems. But the sooner we can agree to disagree and put all this stuff down, see this control grid for what it is and withdraw our support from this system, the sooner we can find answers to these questions, because the sooner we will establish the freedom for all the barriers to break down. But while we continue to have beliefs and argue with each other and push our beliefs on others and claim we know what's going on, we're never going to get anywhere. And the control grid is really locking itself down. That's why all this theater is ramping up, folks. That's why there's so much political conflict, why there's so many theaters of military conflict, why there's so much argument on the internet, why there's this movement and that movement, and black against white, and left against right, and Democrat against Republican, and everything they can think of, up against down, everything is against everything else. And there's so much conflict out there, and so much being done to undermine the resistance, and so much being done to keep people divided, and that should be a clear sign for everybody of just how close we are to big changes coming. You know, they're keeping everybody distracted for a reason, folks, and it's time we put all this stuff down and pulled our support from this system, because when these changes do come, if we allow the people who are running things now to manage that shift, then it's not going to be a good shift at all. We just have to realize how fictional all this rubbish that we're putting up with is. All this legal system, all this stuff they make us do, folks, it's all designed to lead us away from ourselves and away from the human experience. And now more than ever, we need to get this connection with people, folks, because the more we move into this digital realm, the more that connection is being lost. And if it is lost completely, then the generations that are coming up are not going to know what it ever was. They're going to not know what it means to be a human being. So, you know, those of us who are awake have a certain responsibility to stand up and make a noise about this while we still can, because we are the ones who are controlling the direction the future is taking, folks, by our participation or our non-participation. You can blame the government all you want, but really it's us, whether we choose to stop it or whether we choose not to. And really all you got to do is make noise about it. Make enough noise, it'll reach enough people, and we will stop it. But I think we've reached break time here, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so things really are ramping up, folks, and it is important that people do begin to make a little bit of noise about what's happening. Especially here in Australia, things are certainly ramping up here. New border security laws have come in Australia about a week ago, where now they can seize your laptop and your phone when you enter the country. The customs can now seize your laptop and phone and just check through all the data, download the data streams, and possibly install whatever software they want to on your devices in order to be able to monitor and track you a little bit further. So for visitors coming to Australia, I suggest you wipe the data on your phone and laptops before you come, perhaps upload it to some form of online storage area, and then retrieve your data once you get to Australia. I would come through customs with a blank laptop and a blank phone. And you might think, well, why would I do that if I don't have anything to hide? The problem is that the people who are investigating your laptop are the criminal enterprise known as the Australian Federal Government, and these are the last people you want to be putting you under surveillance. Now, I've got no problem with surveillance in a normal and sane world, but when the surveillance is being carried out by a bunch of warmongering psychopaths, then it's a problem for me, because I don't like criminals prying into my private affairs. I don't like criminals wanting to know everything about everybody. And that's why they are doing this, folks. The government is doing this not to protect you from terrorism. They're doing it to protect themselves. They want to know who's talking about them. They want to know who knows about them. They want to know what information people have been consuming. They want to know who's wise to their antics. And they want to be able to funnel these people out of society and into the smart prison system. And this is important, folks. It's really important to see what our governments are doing. It's really important that people make noise about it. It's really important that people spread information about it. It really is. And it's extremely important that people put down their differences. It's so important that the independent media, truth movement, whatever you want to call it, get some focus on this control grid and stop what is happening. And people will say, well, how can we stop it? Well, you've got to make noise. You've got to share information. You've got to spread information, and you've got to question authority. Ask these politicians to show cause why they shouldn't be held in abusive office. This is what I do. I write letters to these people, and I ask them to please show cause why they should not be held in abusive office. But I'm only one person, and they just ignore the letter. But if they start getting hundreds of letters, thousands of letters, if people start going to council meetings all over the country and asking these questions, then they might perhaps pay attention. And even if they don't pay attention, then other people in your community will start paying attention to you. That's the thing, folks. You know, a lot of people write to me and ask me for solutions. A lot of people post comments on my YouTube clips and ask, what are the solutions? And I keep saying the solution is you, but you've got to be prepared to know who you are and to stand in that. And people will say, what do you mean, stand in that? Well, just know you're a human being. Know that nobody has any authority over you, and know that your government is your employees. They are people we employ to manage infrastructure, and they are in abuse of the office that they hold. They are delegating themselves powers we never gave them. And they're getting away with it because we're not questioning it. We're just going along with it and taking it all as a matter of course and believing them when they say they're doing it to protect us from terrorism, but they're not. What they are doing is actually an act of terrorism in itself. And as I've said before, terrorism, if you look at the Oxford English Dictionary, terrorism is defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. This is what legislation is. This is what legislation that you are forced to comply with under threat of punishment is. It is terrorism, psychological terrorism. They are telling you you must walk between the lines or suffer the consequences. This is the threat of violence as a means of coercion for political reasons. This is terrorism. And when customs confiscate your laptop and your phone when you enter into the country and tell them if you do not give them the passwords, you may go to jail for 90 days, this in itself is an act of terrorism. And yet these people claim they are doing this under anti-terrorism laws. They're doing it to protect you from terrorism, but they are carrying out terrorism in order to protect you from terrorism. How does this work? Why doesn't anybody question this? How is the government able to do this and call itself a legitimate government? That's the thing, folks. They can't, because they're an illegitimate government. They're just a bunch of criminals who want to check up and gather anybody who's got any dirt on them, or anybody who questions their authority, or anybody who thinks outside of the box. And if we allow this to continue, we're not going to have any freedoms at all. We're not going to have the freedom to have any type of human expression, the freedom to question anything, if we allow the government to continue what it's doing without us questioning it and asking them why and asking them to show cause where they shouldn't be held in abuse of the office that they hold for abusing their position and creating powers that we don't give them. That's the thing, folks. They don't have the right to do this to people. It's just that they write it on paper and they call it law and we think, oh, gee, we must do it now because they wrote it on paper. It's a scam. If the government wants to put us under surveillance, fine, let's put a surveillance camera in every house, in every office of every politician in this country and get a little bit of an understanding of the inner character of these people and decide if these are the people we wish to have surveilling us, whether they are responsible enough to have that type of access to our lives. Because at the moment, these people seem to be a bunch of warmongering psychopaths who are trashing the world around us and leading us into a police state based in permanent debt and servitude. And this certainly doesn't indicate these people to have any moral character at all, so these do not appear to be the type of people that anyone of any sound mind would want to be putting them under surveillance. That's the question. If the government wants to put the people under surveillance, who the hell are these people? Let's have a look at them. Because like I said, they just appear to be a bunch of warmongering psychopaths at the moment, and that's not the sort of people we need to be looking at and controlling what anybody else thinks. But people need to start paying attention to this, and people need to begin getting active on the ground where they live in their communities. Start taking an interest in what's going on in your local surroundings. Start taking an interest in your local school, in your local council, in your local public meetings, action groups, whatever. Start taking an interest. You know, there are so many people out there, there are so many members of the independent media that are out there now, so many of us. And I cannot stress the importance of people putting down their stuff with people and getting active to address what is coming. You know, we have to get ourselves back to a point where we have the freedom to even continue the research that we're doing, folks. It doesn't matter what you're researching out there. It doesn't matter what rabbit hole you've got your head down. Very soon, you're not going to have access to that information because the internet is going to become very, very controlled. It's becoming more and more controlled now. And even with this type of stuff happening in Australia, once this comes to other countries, and it will come to other countries, make no mistake about that. You know, they trial different things in different countries and see what they can get away with. You know, all countries are testing grounds for certain types of legislation. They test it in different countries. All countries say, oh, we're the testing ground. You may be for certain types of legislation, but it happens everywhere. But eventually it all joins together into one big conglomerate. And that's what's happening. We're losing access to every form of freedom that we ever had, ladies and gentlemen. And we're certainly losing access to the freedom that we've got online. And with the data retention laws and all the new tracking and all this sort of stuff, they can basically tell what you're thinking by what you've been searching for, what your browsing history is, what you've been chatting about. All of it's been recorded. And so what these processes that they're putting through in airports now, it's about just picking out these people. This is where you can identify them as they go through customs at airports. This is where you've got access to everybody in an international zone. This is where rendition can happen. You know, if you're an activist going through an airport, doesn't matter what country it's in. If you've been speaking out against the US government or whichever government, once you go through that airport and they've got access to your data, you're in an international zone. You can be taken by any international police force and taken anywhere, and they can do whatever you want, and there's no record of it. That's the way they do it, folks. And that's what we're heading to. And that's why it's so important that people start getting some focus and stop arguing over their different rabbit holes and different belief systems and stop trolling each other. You know, I've been trying to point this out to people for so many years now, and I've got so much flack for it. I've got so much flack from so many people with so many different belief systems simply for not complying with their belief system. And all these people who've been programmed and trained to view anybody who doesn't conform to their belief system as the enemy and attack them and belittle them and encourage other people to do the same is simply doing the government's work for them, because what we need is unity. We need focus. We need to allow people to think differently, and we need to turn and face this criminal cabal that is ramping this system up and rolling all this stuff out over us, folks, because we've got a very, very short window, and it's closing very, very fast. You know, and in looking for solutions to this situation, as I've said right since the very beginning, folks, this is a spiritual battle. This whole thing is a spiritual battle. Even people's willingness to give their power away so completely, this is a spiritual conquest that happens to them. You know, it's knowing what you are and knowing the value of yourself that is the key to the whole thing. Because once you discover your inner value, you realize that no one has a right of ownership over you. No one can tell you what you can or cannot do, which parts of the world you can experience or cannot experience. This is a world that is our world. It is humankind's world to do with as we please and to live in our natural state of abundance and to travel where we will and to do what we will, to explore our creative potential and to explore other people and other cultures and other places. You know, it's an incredible place, but we are not able to experience it because we never really experience ourselves. We never do that inner work and see the beauty of ourselves and ask the question, why? Is the world in the state that it's in? Why is your life so controlled? Why are you forced to pay to be alive? Why are you forced to walk between all these lines and do all these things that you don't want to do? Why do you have to run around spending your life collecting paper and collecting credits and doing all these things and spending your life in a state of permanent debt just to have a few short years at the end where you may get a chance to enjoy yourself? And this is all done by politicians who work, what, 40 or 50 days a year they actually work? And they get paid exorbitant amounts of money. They pay themselves exorbitant amounts of money while handing out breadcrumbs to the people and forcing the people to live in a state of servitude. And it happens in every single country. Doesn't matter where you go. Everybody is under the same yoke. Everybody is experiencing the same thing. They all kept in fear of those people across the border who may want to come and attack them, and they live in fear of their own governments at the same time, and it's the same in every single country. And it doesn't matter where you travel. Nobody wants war. Nobody wants to fight with you, and nobody likes their government, so why are these governments there? Why do we continue to tolerate them? You know, we do it out of fear. We do it because we're scared to stand up for ourselves, and we do that. We stay in that state of fear because we don't have the support of the people around us, because we have never tried to get that support. We've never tried to respect them, often because we've never really respected ourselves enough to see the inner beauty that we have, and to be able to see that in others. And that's the key to the whole thing. And that's why an anarchist society would be so much better, because in an anarchist society, everyone governs themselves. And if people are properly educated in what reality is and what they are, who they are, what life really is, what the value of life really means, what the value of this earth that we live on really means, what the value of our environment really means, if people are really educated in reality, then they don't need the rules of government, because integrity has no need of rules. You know, when you begin to look at some of the things I've delved into lately in regard to our history, how our history has been changed so much, and what our potential very likely was not too long ago, it becomes very inspiring. And you also begin to see why the governments of the world are undertaking such an extraordinary effort right now to lock people down, to lock this civilization down, before people really get a wind of what is going on here, before people really get a handle on just how much they've been deceived. Now, the wheels are falling off the system, folks. They're falling off very, very quickly, but the system is ramping itself up at the same time. So don't think just because the wheels are falling off and things are all becoming exposed, it's going to lead to freedom, because that is going to depend on us. It's going to depend on the action that we take, whether we choose to stand up for ourselves or whether we choose not to. Now, ultimately, it comes down to us. It's always come down to us. And now it's at the wire. Now it's come to everybody's backyard. So now's the time for people to pay attention. They can't really fob it off and say it's somebody else's problem anymore, because now it's a problem for everybody. You know, government has very much outlived its usefulness, and it's very much not even pretending to be friendly anymore, not even pretending to care about the people anymore. Now it's revealing itself as being the open control mechanism that it always has been. It's just becoming very confident in its actions, because governments don't think they can lose from this point. They think, well, the people can't do anything. They're not going to stand up. We've pushed them this far and they haven't stood up. So all we have to do now is push the door closed and turn the lock. And that's what they're about to do. And it's about time we stuck our foot in the door, folks. Now's the time to get involved. Now's the time to get involved. And I cannot stress the importance of this enough. You know, all this rollout of this new legislation, it also adds a new perspective to the Alex Jones channel being taken down. You know, when you consider Alex Jones to be controlled opposition, which he very likely is, they've kind of got him out of the picture. You know, they've kind of put him into a safe zone. We've already seen him be deplatformed, but we know he's still out there. But what would have happened if they really wanted to take Alex Jones down is Alex Jones would have simply disappeared and his channel would have gone dark. That's what would have happened. And they can't really be taking down other people and still leave something like InfoWars up there with Alex ranting and raving the way he was. Best to take him down first, make it as public as possible, and put him in a safe zone and make him something of a focus. That way people won't notice other channels and other activists simply going dark. So pay attention, folks, and pay attention to your favorite channels and pay attention to your favorite talkers and your favorite activists, and just develop lines of contact with people and keep a little bit of an eye on what the left hand is doing while the right hand is waving all of this theatre in front of your face. You know, as I keep saying, folks, all the world is a stage, and as the saying goes, the revolution will not be televised, and neither will the counter-revolution, the clean-up that comes, the rounding up of activists. None of this will be televised either. None of this will make the airwaves. None of it will make the news. None of it will reach the ears of the people. Channels will simply go dark, and there will simply be a quiet clean-up. There won't be any martyrs in what is coming. And the only way to prevent what is coming is to make noise and stand up against this system now while we still have the opportunity to do so. Now, we've had great opportunities to do this for so many years. I've been pointing this out for 10 years on this radio show. But these opportunities are fast disappearing. Very soon we won't have the opportunity to be able to stand up and make noise about this if we don't seize the time that we have left and put it to good use, because we still can turn this around. I totally have the confidence that we can do this, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people say this is just wishful thinking and that the fat lady has already sung, but no, the fat lady hasn't sung yet, folks. There's a lot of stuff coming out now, a lot of information coming out, and there's a lot of paths to freedom that are still available to us. It's just up to us to step onto these paths. That's the problem. People just aren't willing to step onto it. They're not willing to do the work themselves. They want someone to come along and save the world for them, but that's not going to happen. You know, you are part of this world, and you need to participate in this world. We all need to do this, and as I said, folks, it's come down to the wire now. It's in everybody's backyard. You can't deny that the government is corrupt now. You can't say that all this is being done for your best interest. There's nobody who could possibly look at all of this legislation, everything that's being rolled out, and say that any of this is being done to protect us from terrorism. Like I said, folks, the legislation itself is terrorism. You think about these rights these governments are giving themselves, these powers these governments are giving themselves, and you look at the track record of these people, their warmongering, their psychopathic behaviour, the child harvesting, the children kept in detention centres, all the stuff they've done, dropping bombs on civilian areas, war after war after war. Then you look at this, folks, it's kind of pretty terrifying itself to think that these people are giving themselves these powers and they're going to get away with it. If we do not stand up for ourselves and stop believing that someone is going to come and save us. Q isn't going to save you, folks. Trump isn't going to save you. And if they're rolling this legislation out here, then they're rolling it out there. They just haven't told you yet. And it's time for people to stop believing the government is going to save them from the government. And the system is going to save them from the system. Or the state is going to save them from the state. It's time that people woke up to themselves and had a look at this puppet show and called it for what it is. It really is time to do this, folks. It's time to face reality. Blinkers have got to come off. Wakey, wakey. Time to pay attention. Well, we have almost reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where we are at the end of the show. I know I've covered a large variety of topics today. I tend to do that. I tend to go off on lots of tangents, and I'm sorry about that, but there's kind of a lot rattling around up in my head, and there's so many issues that we need to face, so much stuff that needs public attention, and so much information that people simply need to know, that it's hard to keep it all in focus and bring it all to you on one show, but I'm sure for regular listeners you got the general picture anyway. But there really are so many issues that we face. I mean, I'd love to be continuing on the path of history, and I really want to bring you some more shows about history, how our history has been changed, what our real history may possibly be. But in the face of everything that's coming, in the face of this police state and this control group, which is rolling out so fast now, it's difficult to address that type of information and not feel a little guilty about doing so, simply because there's a train coming, and sometimes I feel like I'm simply discussing the nature of the sleepers and what the tracks are made of, rather than paying attention to the oncoming train, which is what I think we should all be doing, ladies and gentlemen. We really should. And this is something that has really, really frustrated me with the amount of trolling I get from the Flat Earth movement. I quite respect a lot of the Flat Earth research. My problem with Flat Earthers is that they simply won't look at some research. I mean, I've gone out personally and I've done triangulation experiments and I've measured 1 arc minute and 11 arc seconds of curvature per mile. It exists. It's there. So you can't just explain that away and say it doesn't exist and say I'm a liar for doing the experiment. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, but having said that, I agree there's a lot wrong with the models that we're given for the Earth. There's a lot wrong with the whole rotation model. There's a lot wrong with the distances we're given for the sun and the moon. There's a lot wrong with what NASA's doing. There's a lot wrong with a lot of stuff we're told. But putting the claim that the Earth is flat at the top of all of it and trying to present this to people is completely counterproductive. Look at the division it's created in the last 3 or 4 years since this movement started, simply because of the polarized focus and the failure to look at the real issue and the incredible amount of straw man arguments that are employed in doing so. And the division this has created has got to stop. It absolutely has to stop. And every time I've ever mentioned it in an attempt to end this division, all I've got is more trolling from flat earthers who refuse to accept anybody who will not conform to their belief systems. I'm supposed to just forget about the triangulation experiments I've done. I'm supposed to forget that I've flown to South America from Sydney in 11.5 hours. I'm supposed to forget that there's a South Pole star. I'm supposed to forget what I see in my 8-inch Dobsonian telescope when I look at Saturn and Jupiter. I'm supposed to just forget all this stuff and believe what I'm told in YouTube clips. And it's completely counterproductive, folks. It's the wrong way to present moon anomalies, NASA corruption, and all these issues to the people. And all of these issues are things that could be used to wake people up. But right at the very pinnacle of it is the claim that the Earth is flat and the absolute insults, argument, and animosity that's directed towards anybody who questions that belief. And that's the problem, and that's why the movement has created so much division, and that's why this police state has been able to ramp itself up so quickly in the last 3 years. You know, this movement came out right on cue before this smart grid and all of this whole surveillance system was being rolled out. Right on cue. It created all the division needed to shift the focus of everybody away from their immediate surroundings and lead them down into a circular argument which has just created so much animosity and driven such a wedge into the movement and has allowed all of this police state to happen. And we have to get some focus, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter what you believe. You don't know. Nobody knows. All those people claiming it's a globe, you don't know. Or people claiming whatever, you don't know. And some of the shows that I've done trying to point out to people that, hey, nobody really knows anything because all of the information that we've had access to is all tainted. It's all been contrived. We don't even know what our history is. We don't know anything about this reality at all. And we need to just admit that. Stop thinking we have the key. We are the one who is right. And realize that the only thing we do really know, the only thing we really can confirm, is the fact that this world is run by criminals who are slowly locking us into a police state and using slow kill operations against us. And if we do not get some focus on that, then you can say goodbye to human freedom completely. And that is something that we do know and something that I feel would be quite prudent for us to put a little bit of focus on. Stop arguing about all this stuff and stop believing anybody actually knows anything. And I'll tell you what, folks, the shows that I've done where I've suggested that to people have been the shows where I have been trolled the most. People certainly do not like to be told that they don't know. They certainly do not like to be told that virtually everything we think is true is a lie. That show got quite a lot of trolling as well. Amazing to see the amount of programmed responses on that show. It really was. It was very, very revealing. I thought there would be when I posted it, but it was quite revealing to see just how many there were. But anyway, folks, as I said, we have reached the end of the show, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now anyway. But thank you to all the people who sent me so many emails. I'm sorry I haven't got around to meeting some of the people online that I want to meet. I've been so busy, folks. It's really been ridiculous. I may even have to take a week off the show soon just to try to catch up on this backlog of work that I've got here. So do forgive me if that happens soon, but I will try to get to some of these emails and I will try to get to some of these online chats very, very soon. Again, I am speaking at Anacapulco next year in February. Do come to this event, folks. It's going to be a great gig. If you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, you'll see a banner for Anacapulco. And if you click that banner and go and buy yourself a ticket and use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll get a discount on that ticket. It's going to be a huge gig, folks. There's going to be 2,000 or 3,000 people there, and I highly recommend coming to it. So again, thank you for joining me for the show today, folks. And always, my most sincere thanks goes to my Patreon supporters, because I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. You are the ones who get this information out to the world as much as I do, and I cannot thank you enough for believing in the message and helping me share it the way you do. But that is it for me, folks. I've completely run out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In La Keshe.